Trendstorm.
Our final topic, picked by you, dear listeners, earlier in a poll on our Facebook page, is American Democracy Censoring RT, focusing on the U.S.'s war on Russian media. The U.S. is revving the new Cold War up a notch by undertaking hostile actions against Russian media, utilizing a campaign of legal and social intimidation in order to get them to either self-censor or shut down. About the first part of its asymmetrical warfare toolkit, the U.S. has threatened to hypocritically force RT and its sister company Sputnik to register as foreign agents under the 1938 Foreign Agents Registration Act because they're publicly financed, though blatantly enacting a double standard in refusing to consider having all other foreign government-funded information outlets do so as well. Russian Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Maria Zakharova decried this move as promoting a witch hunt atmosphere, stating that applying the FARA to RT will have serious legal consequences and will also compromise the safety of its employees. It demands disclosure of the channel's confidential data, including the list of employees and their personal data. That's not all that the U.S. government is doing in its war on Russian media, however, since the FBI recently got involved in the scheme and decided to interrogate a former Sputnik employee. Mrs. Zakharova also has something to say about this as well, stating that the pressure of the U.S. authorities on the Russian news agency is an obvious violation of international commitments regarding the freedom of expression and media activities, and that such an unjustified move by the United States is unacceptable for a democratic state. That's precisely what's at the bottom of this too, because the U.S. proclaims itself to be a democracy, yet is stifling Russian media's right to free speech. Instead of doing so directly, however, the U.S. is utilizing roundabout but still obvious legal and social means to compel Russian outlets to either self-censor or shut down. Margarita Simonyan, who is the editor-in-chief of both RT and Sputnik, recently said in reference to the U.S. government's decree that RT's American broadcaster must register as a foreign agent that what they, Washington, have been doing in regard to us is tantamount to driving us out of the country. They put us in conditions in which we cannot work. She believes that her companies are being punished for showing a different point of view during the 2016 election and predicted that Russia would take reciprocal measures if the U.S. forces RT to stop broadcasting in the country. Folks, wow, oh, wow. I mean, did this new Cold War heat up, and did the U.S. really expose itself to be pretty hypocritical? Folks, this is definitely a very important topic because it concerns all of us. If you're listening to this broadcast, it concerns you too. So we're going to start off by speaking to Mr. Fernando Martinez, who's going to tell us a lot more about this. Fernando is an independent news analyst from the United States.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Fernando, how successful do you think the U.S. will be in using legal and social means to pressure Russian media to either self-censor or leave the country?
Well, the thing is that the U.S. is amassing its arsenal of asymmetrical warfare against the Russian media company because it's found itself that even though that they are pretty much, they're upset because RT has been successful with, even though its budget is limited, even though they have a media empire, a global media empire that spans the globe and is super mega funded, and it's used to promote its propaganda and its covert services by the CIA to propagate its message across the world. They feel that RT, just by telling the truth, and Sputnik, just by telling the truth, that they have an upper hand. And this is just driving them up the wall. So therefore, they are going to be using all the tools in their arsenal, in the courts, in the media as well, to paint RT and Sputnik into a corner. They're going to use any sedition act, any type of maneuver that they can find, do away with RT. They're not going to stop until RT has been driven away. The law is somewhat on RT's side. RT has the Fourth Estate Rule, which cover freedom of expression. There is a freedom of speech clause in the Constitution, which protects RT to a certain extent. And that will give RT an edge in being able to fight this attempt to stifle free speech. They're going to use the fact that RT is a publicly funded company against it, but that still doesn't take away from the fact that RT expresses a point of view that people are happy with.
Yeah, you know, I want to ask you about that point of view, Fernando, real briefly. I mean, what's the reaction of Americans, not only to RT, but I mean specifically to this anti-Russian witch hunt? And who do they believe is behind it? I mean, would you attribute this to Trump, the deep state, the Democrats, or someone else?
Well, there's been attempts to attack RTs for a while now. I think some of the earliest attempts were in 2015 or 2014. Hillary Clinton was raving mad against RT, and there's been Senate panels that have been set up to talk about RT. So the deep state is definitely against RT. They have arrayed their forces against the channel. And if Trump was for RT at one time, now he's probably been co-opted, and he may be a willing or unwilling, you know, cat's paw against the channel. What happens is that the more they attack RT, the more people become aware of it. And some people, it's ironic because RT probably spends so much X amount of money towards advertisement, and that amount of money pales against the type of advertisement that the media gives RT unwillingly or ironically by just speaking against it. So people want to know what's going on. They're like, why are they talking so much about this Russian media company? Why are they attacking it? So at first they may be like, ew, RT, yucky, brand X, or we don't want to know anything about RT, but then they try it out and they'll see shows like Crosstalk, they'll go to Sputnik and they'll see your channel or your show, and they'll see that the truth is there. And it's creating a legion of dissidents and forward thinkers who are now more attuned to the Russian or distinct point of view that RT and Sputnik offers. So they're actually shooting themselves in the foot, because even though RT may be driven off the air on the channel, they will still go to it on the internet.
Yeah, it's almost like you're talking about a media judo, if you will, where, I mean, RT is kind of using its opponent's tactics against it. Well, you know, Fernando, we got like 1 minute left. So real briefly, I want to ask you that if RT, for whatever reason, has to leave the country, is shut down, or is pressured to discontinue its work, as Margarita Simonyan said, might actually happen. That's what she thinks the goal is here. How do you think the U.S. will react if Russia undertakes reciprocal measures against American media outlets in Russia?
Well, as of late, the U.S. has been an irrational and lunatic power. It's like the demon in the Lord of the Rings movie that is just crashing down. It takes Gandalf down with them. The U.S., if Russia does anything that is commensurate with whatever it does, we'll use Freedom House, we'll use any type of international media organization, NGO, such as Reporters Without Borders or the International X Organization, to attack Russia and claim that Russia is now stifling freedom of speech, which is ironically what the U.S. is going to be doing. The U.S. is stifling freedom of speech. The Uniparty, which is composed of the Republicans and Democrats, they don't want RT. They just cannot stand the fact that the truth is being put out there. And RT, they claim that RT uses phony experts. They claim that RT's journalists are not real journalists. They claim that RT is just a propaganda effort that is trying to harm American democracy. But in fact, it is a total opposite. When we look at the channel, there are tons of experts such as Pepe Escobar, Rafael Correa has been on there, Nigel Farage, Bashar al-Assad. There's been dozens of correspondents that have gone through there that have been awarded with international awards for their great and outstanding work. And, you know, such as yourself, Andrew, you know, you guys are upcoming stars in the world.
Okay, Fernando, thank you very much for this very interesting commentary, especially regarding your very deep observations about what I've described as media judo. I think that was pretty interesting and gives our audience a lot to think about. Thanks for sharing that. Now, folks, we're going to speak to our second guest now, and that's Mr. Lars Jorgensen. Lars is a Danish sociologist and political commentator.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Lars, just a few days ago, it was discovered that Google removed RT's broadcaster from its premium YouTube video inventory package. So can you explain to our audience what the significance of this is in the context of the U.S.'s war on Russian media?
You know, I'm situated in Denmark, and I try to follow events in Syria, in Europe, and American policy. And for me, for instance, it would be very difficult to get information if RT are not allowed to publish their very important outlets, their interviews and their documentary and the information from the places they go.
Okay, so it sounds like to me that that you're used to using a social media to access RT. Aside from using the website itself, you usually come across Russian, media through social media, through YouTube or Facebook then, right?
That's right. For me, it's very important media, the Russian media. And, people always try to say that we should be balanced and we should consider both the perspectives, for instance, on the war in Syria. But I think people generally miss the very important point that the Western nations, and especially the U.S. and perhaps the U.K., are very aggressive. They are the aggressor in Syria. And that means that Russia and Syria have an interest in telling the truth about what's happening. So if we're trying to balance things, then you are coming to buy a lot of the propaganda coming from the U.S. and the Western media. For me, I've simply learned from the past few years that basically all the things that the Western media tell us about Russia and about Syria and other similar countries are simply false propaganda. So they cannot be relied on at all. If we're not allowed in Western countries to get the information from RT and from Syrian media, then we are cut off from our sources trying to figure out what is really happening.
True. Well, you mentioned that the West has been very aggressive against Russia and Syria, and we also, of course, see this in the social media sphere, because the next thing I want to talk to you about, Lars, is how Facebook alleges that Russian-based entities paid $100,000 for 3,000 ads during last year's campaign, but it turns out over half of these supposed ads weren't seen until after the election, and a quarter of them were never even seen at all. So how does the congressional inquiry into this matter, you were working with Facebook and interrogating them, if you will, how does this further the U.S.'s witch hunt in light of everything you told me about this suppression of Russian media and alternative views?
Yeah, but I think there's no doubt that RT and Sputnik and similar Russian sites are like a fly in the tent for the public sphere in Western Europe and in America. And they provide, to get the objective perspective on things with the information so that we can discuss with people, debate, and try to spread critical information. So, of course, they're really annoyed by this information and the possibility. So if they can get it out, and they will be in full control almost of what we can know in the Western world. I was thinking, if you go back and look at comparing what happened in the Gulf War and what's happening in Syria these years, you would say that back then we had CNN, perhaps you recall, they had embedded journalists in Iraq. And, we had some media opposition in Europe and critical media journalists. And we had academics, and they were ridiculing these embedded journalists from CNN. But that was then. Today, all the critical voices, all media opposition in the Western world is gone. And that means that instead of having critical voices on such embedded journalists, we have all the media practically working like CNN did back then. And as you probably, I'm sure you know that the great UK journalist Alexander Cockburn, he wrote an article in February this year saying, and of course, he's he has to tell the truth because he's an important journalist, so he can't afford not to be very firm about what he says. But he concluded that all media reporting in the Western world since 2013 have been done in collaboration with Al-Qaeda and Nusra and similar groups. This also includes the normally very highly esteemed institutions in the Western world, such as Amnesty International and the UN. They also report from, based on information given to them by Al-Qaeda affiliations and Al-Nusra and similar groups. For me, witnesses, seeing this in Europe, incredible. So and this is probably the reason, you know, I like to follow your work as well. And I just want, you know, objective information. And people say that at RT is a Russian state-sponsored news station or whatever. But the funny thing is, the absolutely most important people analyzing and informing us about what is happening in American politics and in the foreign policies that are being done in the Middle East, the absolutely best analysts coming from America and Europe can only go to RT and Sputnik and places like that to be interviewed. They're not normally interviewed in the Western media.
Okay, Lars, thanks very much for speaking with us today. I especially liked your poignant example comparing CNN and the first Gulf War with its embedded reporters to what RT is doing in the war on Syria. Thanks a lot for that.
Trendstorm.
Now, folks, if we reflect back on what both Fernando and Lars share with us today, we can see that there is a huge difference between mainstream media and alternative media. And RT is leading alternative media in literally questioning more and, as we say in Sputnik, telling the untold, because we're also involved in this as well, of course. And what the U.S. is doing is tantamount to, as Ms. Simonyan said, trying to shut us down, trying to shut down the companies and get them to self-censor and to leave the United States. But at the end of the day, people, they see what's going on. It seems like people are becoming more hip to what's happening, and the more that the U.S. tries to harass and discriminate against RT and Sputnik, the more interested people become in wanting to go to these platforms. So, as Fernando remarked and as we concluded, this is tantamount to media judo. So, folks, if you want to sound off and share what you think about this, please send us an email at radio@sputniknews.com or find us on Facebook. And with this, we end this week's edition of Trendstorm, brought to you by Radio Sputnik. It was presented by me, Andrew Kripko. Thank you for listening, and take care.